WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you haven't had a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'll say that, right? I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTR Live to interact with us throughout the night. Yes, Mr. Intern, it is already time for the Rack.
It is!
Which means you're probably still at work.
Oh, dear.
I mean, that's him. He's stuck at work. It's kind of his thing.
Is he stuck or does he live there?
It's a valid question. He would have to tell us. Still working. That's...
Oh, dear.
It's 8 o'clock. You would think he would be done by now. But it's Brent, so never... He's never doing...
No, he's dedicated that, Brent.
We'll call it dedication? I mean, we don't want to tilt him or anything.
No.
No. We never want to go to the tilted direction with him.
But he has so much fun when he's tilted.
Anyway, we have stuff to get into tonight. We apologize we were not live on Monday for the Raw post show, which means tonight you get our thoughts on Raw.
Yep, we're talking Raw tonight. We're talking NXT. We have news, notes, all the fun stuff. So I say we don't waste any time. And we jump right into the news, brought to you by our friends over at MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. And we have to talk about the biggest story of the week. It's coming out of the Royal Rumble. It's a little muddled. There's a lot of moving parts to it, and that is that Shane McMahon and WWE, I'm going to say they may have parted ways again. I don't want to spread the misnomer that Shane was let go, because from what I always heard, Shane's contract had expired, and I guess he was working there because he was family, but there's no confirmation on what his contract status actually was at the time that all this happened. So, for the sake of semantics, we'll say that Shane McMahon and WWE have possibly parted ways. And this time could be permanent. Never say never.
Never say never, brother. Ooh, yeah, dig. No.
But this could be permanent.
I would never say it's permanent, but I don't expect him. He could roll up in 3 weeks and be on television and everything smooths over.
I mean, he could. He absolutely could, but...
Okay, so the gist of what's going on is Shane McMahon was heavily responsible for the Royal Rumble, the men's Royal Rumble, to be more specific. We all saw his involvement and what he did in limiting Kevin Owens, and Shane McMahon was very, quote-unquote, difficult to work with on that night. He seemed very distracted and very stressed and all that fun stuff, and all the ideas he pitched to creative and his father were denied.
So that led to tension backstage, that led to words, and then there was the very heavy criticism on the men's rumble and how it ran in general. This added to an environment that was already incredibly stressful as Vince is dealing with things, morale in the company is not the best. There were a lot of changes to the Rumble, and so as a result, Shane kind of was given the blame for a lot of it, and the reports coming out of the Rumble are that Shane McMahon and WWE are no longer together. He was supposed to be factored heavily into the Chamber plans, heavily into the WrestleMania plans, but now that has all been abandoned in favor of him not being there. So, this also ties into family issues that we're not going to get too into because we don't know the situation, but apparently Vince and Shane are not getting along again. It's escalating, and it has escalated to a breaking point, and that's also probably possibly what tied into this as well. But there are a lot of reports indicating that Vince and Shane have parted on a professional and a personal level. So that tells you how deep the rift really is. Obviously, you always take that with a grain of salt, but... It's more believable in this case because this is not the first time that Shane and Vince have fallen out. It happened several years ago when Shane initially left WWE altogether to pursue things elsewhere, just pursue other opportunities, basically, that Shane was tired of being put down. He wanted his chance, and they weren't going to give it to him, and he saw which way the wind was going, and so he was like, F it, I'm out.
Yeah.
And he left, and it was not, and he left very, very, very abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was literally, F it, I'm out. He Antonio Browned it and just left. So, I don't think he went tits out, though. Don't know, though. He could have. He's a McMahon. It's entirely possible. So this is a really kind of sad and very unfortunate situation because you never want to hear about families fighting. You never want to hear about families falling out. But obviously the McMahons have their more than their fair share of tension. And this couples into a lot of personal issues that they've suffered over the last 6 to 8 months, which is not good, with Hunter's health scare and Vince having health issues and Vince having other personal issues. It's not good.
Yeah. So, and Vince is going through a lot right now. That mirror looks a lot, yeah. So it was interesting. I mentioned this, I don't know, it was a few weeks ago. I think we mentioned it on the Interns Corner on CB Radio when we were doing Russell birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane just had a birthday. WWE tweeted about it, but they never actually wished him happy birthday. They asked everyone to wish him a happy birthday, but they never actually said those words. It was weird. Like, you read all the other tweets about happy birthdays, and it's like, wish Shane McMahon a happy birthday, but they never actually on Twitter wished him a happy birthday.
It's always been a really weird kind of strange dynamic between Shane and WWE. What's also interesting to note is supposedly Shane arrived with Nick Khan.
Yeah, that was a story.
But like, Nick Khan was at the Rumble, and supposedly Shane and Nick came together. That it wasn't Shane and Vince, wasn't Shane in any other part of the family, or Shane and any of the other talent. It was Shane and the president of WWE arriving together at the show.
Because there was probably talks of them trying to do something. Because Shane was sort of being factored into the to WrestleMania.
Right. But it's just, I don't know. It's like, there's been a lot of really seismic shifts in WWE management and philosophy and everything in the last 12 months. We've seen a lot of people, especially in upper management, move. We've seen a lot of people get replaced. We've seen people that have been there for 30 years, they're gone.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to note that Nick Khan and Shane were together, because Shane has always kind of been looked down upon in WWE, and I think this is me projecting onto him. I think part of what Shane is chasing is that kudos from his father and that kudos from the company on being a good wrestler and being a good wrestling mind and being good for the company and being best for business. Basically getting all the accolades that his sister and his brother-in-law have received, but he has not. Because that's always kind of been part of the tension with Shane and WWE, is that they sort of pushed him off to the side because they felt his ideas weren't good. And they went for Hunter in favor of Shane. That's why it's like Hunter and Steph have always been the heir apparent for a long, long time in terms of taking over that company. Because Shane was pushed off to the side and then he left. And he's like, again, I'm out, right? Like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm gone. Bye.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So it was like, okay, well, it's Hunter and Steph. And then a few years ago, Shane came back. And I don't know if it's that they smoothed things out. I don't know how that all went down. Because the other rumor about Shane is that Shane and Hunter do not get along with each other. And when I say that, I mean Shane supposedly does not care for Hunter, does not like the fact that Hunter married his sister, that basically the help married into the family. Doesn't like that. It's been a long-standing rumor. No idea if it's true. They could be buddy-buddy. But everything I've ever heard indicates that they do not get along from that aspect. I think it's Shane more than Hunter.
I think it's a little both, because they both wanted the power at the time, and it was a power struggle, and Shane lost the power struggle.
Yeah, Shane lost the power struggle. So, and now Hunter's out of power.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it could be that Shane's trying to work his way back in. Because Hunter's out of power, Steph is good where Steph's at. She's not really trying to go for anywhere, because I think Steph is sitting exactly where she needs to be to take over for her father. And I think she's going to be the one to do it.
She's becoming the face of the brand.
So she's being positioned to take over, I feel like, in a way that Vince never was, because he never could, because he built the brand. He built the company. So he built everything on being sort of Vince McMahon and who Vince McMahon is, versus Stephanie, who takes a much more aggressive yet passive role in how she does that.
Yeah.
Where she, and I shouldn't even say aggressive not and yet passive, because that's not even the right description. It's more benevolent. Stephanie's much more benevolent in her public image versus Vince, who always likes to come across much more ruthless, much more tough.
Because he's Vincent Kennedy McMahon, damn it.
Exactly. So it's just a very strange scenario, and it was hard to believe at first, because it's like, you know, it felt like Shane was being scapegoated, and I feel like Shane is still being scapegoated a little bit, because they're basically saying, oh, well, you know, he imposed his will on the Rumble, and he was, you know, tossing his weight around and pulling the McMahon card and doing all these things and yada, yada, yada. And that is entirely possible. And I'm sure Shane does have a level of blame in this, but I'm sure some of it was also reactionary to how Shane was possibly being treated backstage by the people that work for the company, where supposedly they were laughing at him behind his back. They were making fun of him. They were not listening to him. You know, it's like Shane went off and became very, very successful on his own. And Shane is exceptionally successful on his own. So when you have people like that, and basically you have people that aren't listening to individuals who have become exceptionally successful, that can be a little frustrating.
Yeah.
Especially if you're put in that position of, hey, I'm supposed to produce this. I'm supposed to run this. You're not listening to me. You're ignoring me. And this is on top of Vince making change after change after change after change, which is just not helping the already stressful environment that's going on. Like, I have heard Rumble was a miserable, miserable existence for everybody involved on Saturday. Like, nobody enjoyed it. because of how many changes came through in the Rumble.
All week.
But Saturday, like, what was it? Like, 20 changes to the Rumble?
Throughout that week, yes.
That is an insane amount. And the fact that the winner wasn't settled till, I think, day of?
No, that's incorrect. Winner, Brock was always... The Riddle rumor was not an actual thing.
Okay, alright, so Brock was always going to win?
That was settled, like, 3 weeks ago.
Okay, that's fair.
Probably at day one. The Riddle, not many people heard the Riddle story.
So that was just somebody talking out of their butt?
Probably.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So, it's something to keep an eye on. We'll see if Shane comes back. Just based on everything I've seen, I don't think he will. But they could smooth it out.
Again, never say never, brother. Ooh, yeah, dig it. Step into it.
I know, but at the same time, Shane left and he was gone for what, 10 years?
7 years.
7 years. So just kind of got to. 7 years seems to be the magic mark, by the way.
Yeah.
On certain things. So, all right. So that's the Shane McMahon story. Continuing with WWE real quick. The Hall of Fame and NXT Stand and Deliver have both been announced for WrestleMania week. The Hall of Fame will take place after SmackDown, supposedly, on the Friday before WrestleMania.
Yeah, so it'll air at 10:30 on the Peacock following SmackDown. So there's a half hour for them to
set up
everything and get everything put together. And yeah.
And then there's no word on when NXT Stand and Deliver is. It's supposedly supposed to be like noon on Saturday, but nobody knows if that's confirmed or not.
None of those times are confirmed. They can always change them as they go. But noon on Saturday is kind of the idea. And I don't mind it from that standpoint, because there's enough of a gap. There's going to be like a 5 hour window or a 4 hour window between wrestling. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, but if I have to go get my nails done, it's going to suck.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Oh, first world problem. You schedule your nail appointment for the Saturday before.
No.
But no, it'll be interesting to see if that stands. And it'll be the first time, if it all goes as planned, NXT will be in front of a crowd that is not in the Performance Center.
Hey!
Since February
2020. Woo!
2 years.
We'll go there.
That's 2 years.
So the NXT kids will finally get the takeover experience of being in a real building.
The beginning in a real building, yeah.
So, hey!
Good on them.
So moving on to AEW really quickly. A couple signing and then departures. Leo Rush has parted ways with AEW. His contract is up officially this month. No word on where he's going next. And Danhausen, who is very evil and very nice, has signed with AEW.
He's very evil and very elite. That's what he is now.
But he's also very nice, supposedly.
So Leo Rush is out. Peter Avalon, I think, is out as well. Both their contracts expire this upcoming month. There'll be more contracts are coming up that will probably not be renewed. But they're never going to say, hey, we release people. We're just letting contracts expire. The Leo Rush one is interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting because he is, again, opting to leave. He is not... His contract's not expiring.
No, his contract's expiring.
Oh, it is expiring? Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
He announced that he's not re-signing. He's the one who came public with it. So, that's the thing. But, like, if AEW, like, looks at their contract situation, that some of these talent signings they've made in the beginning, it's like, Marco Stunt, he's probably another one whose contract's going to come up, and he's going to be doing free agency stuff. You look at the early signings and go, huh, wonder what the actual deal is. You know, guys? It's like... It's always not greener on the other side, and then they keep bringing in people. They keep bringing in out the Bobby Fishes of the world, and their Kyle O'Reillys, and your Jay Lethals, ooh yeah, dig it, yeah, and stuff like that. And they were going to bring in other talent, and well, some are probably very happy they didn't bring other talent in, as of what we saw, what was going to happen on Wednesday. So yeah, that's kind of the thing there. So I don't know. We're going to see how it goes with all the talent signings. and non-signings and going forward. I don't know what kind of role Danhausen's going to play in the company, because he was hanging out with Orange Cassidy on Wednesday. I don't know if that's your play, because I don't know. I don't get the old that combination, but we'll see what goes from it. That's the AEW situation. And in the shocker chat, big shocker to the world, Ric Flair got divorced. I know, it's very shocking. Ric Flair, it's his fifth divorce. Fifth. That, I mean, it explains a lot of his erratic behavior in the last few months, is why he's back on the podcast and run. But, yeah, you know, that's kind of a thing. So, yeah, that's where we are. So, we can officially, we're going to put it on the board.
Hashtag blame Lindsay.
I want a divorce!
So we're going to officially put that one on the board for Ric Flair, blame Lindsay. And so, yeah, that's kind of a thing. After five times of not working on it, just call it. I mean, yeah, you would assume we just call it. We're just going to call it right there with five divorces. But, yeah, five.
Okay. So here's the thing. Whit and I were talking about this, right?
Yeah.
Ric Flair has been, like, off the chain lately, where he's just been shooting off at the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ever since he asked to be let go from WWE, he's just been, like, running his mouth. And it's like, what happened? Because, and obviously he was under WWE contract, so he was kind of, like, silenced a little bit. But ever since then, just going on podcasts, making all these claims, taking all these shots, just doing Ric Flair things.
Yeah.
What and Whit and I were like, what the hell is going on? And then this story dropped, and it's like, that explains everything.
There it is.
There it is. That's the reason why he's just been losing his damn mind for, like, the last few months, is because the person that was there to sort of, like, potentially check him isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad for him, and I feel bad for her, because that's never a good situation, and you don't want to make light of it. But this is, like you said, this is his fifth one. Maybe just don't get married anymore.
I mean, yeah. One other note, Trish Stratus is now starring in a Christmas movie. She's going to begin filming it. She got a lead role in it.
Woo! Go Trish!
So there's that. And one other news note, and item that has nothing to do with professional wrestling, Doug Peterson is now the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm glad they found somebody. May he have better luck than Urban Meyer, because... Okay, so can we just talk about the allegations, though, in NFL football?
I mean, go for it.
The fact that, you know, the Dolphins have been accused of losing on purpose, amongst other things.
Amongst other things. That's the safest bet of it all. That is who Shad hired, was Doug Peterson.
I mean, he's not bad, is he?
No, he brought us a Super Bowl. So, odds Nick Foles ends up.
Oh, no.
Also, shout out to Tom Brady. Former Patriot, even though he won't say it. Patriot, Tom Brady.
You know, here's the thing. All the respect to Tom Brady. All the respect. He is not human. He needs to be studied by science. Because to pull off what he pulled off for over the last 2 years of his career, like the fact that he left the Patriots, he went to the Bucks, and in his first year, they basically assembled the dream team, so they had to win. It was basically Super Bowl or bust. Like, they basically played to win, or paid to win. But still, like, he came in, he brought the Super Bowl home to Tampa, where it was in Tampa, and they won. Like, come on. That's like what movies are. That's like a perfect movie ending. And then he came back and he tried to do it again, and God love him, he just couldn't do it. So all the respect to Tom Brady, because I don't think anybody could top that. I don't think any... We'll see with the modern quarterbacks, but, like, of his generation, the GOAT. First ballot, Hall of Famer, all the way. Like I said, DNA needs to be studied for science, because his athletic ability just is unmatched. It's untouched.
It is. So we're going to head into NXT in our second chat, but I just want to let everyone know, check your calendars. Contractual obligations is coming back. Ready for NXT? Oh, wait, no, we have injuries first. We have injuries. We'll do injuries. Then we'll go to NXT.
What do you mean he's coming back?
It's contractual obligations time.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. But injuries.
No.
Injuries.
No.
Injuries.
No.
What?
I don't want him.
I know, but we're going to injuries.
Fine.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
So, unfortunately, Eddie Kingston with a fractured orbital bone.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Hopefully he feels better. And Riho with a broken fractured collarbone.
Hashtag blame Brent.
She'll be out like 3 months.
So hopefully she feels better. She's been walking around with her arm in a sling.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
No. Why?
So NXT started off with the Diamond Mine taking on Imperium. This was fun.
Pain.
This
not
was,
for this.
This was fun.
They wore their jammies.
They did.
They wore their jammies. This was good.
I enjoyed
it.
I
will say this. Imperium's entrance is blinding. Like, it's blinding. Like, they just open the show, and there's just the three of them standing in front of this giant white light, and you're like, oh, God, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no.
Not a thing.
Not a thing. Do not want.
But yeah. Anyway, good match.
But the match was good. Yeah, the match was good. It was fine.
Imperium would end up getting the win. We had LA Knight. Yeah, cutting a promo from earlier in the day on Grayson Waller was interrupted by Joe Gacy and Harlan.
You get it right.
I did. Dollar store
Bray Wyatt.
Got it right.
It's Dollar Store Bray Wyatt.
We'll have more about them here in a minute. Toxic Attraction was in the ring. They talked about how the girls are putting their tag titles on the line at Vengeance Day against Indy and Persia. Kaylee Ray came out. She had her bat, and she wants Mandy. Mandy's like, nah, no, I'm good. And then Ray said she's the longest reigning WWE Women's Champion of the modern era via the NXT UK. She said, Mandy's like, that means nothing. She has had tons of accomplishments before WWE. She's been on billboards, magazine covers, Bikini World Champion. She is every woman aspires to be, and the men want to be with her. The fans start going, you deserve it. Kaylee's like, that doesn't compare to any in-ring skill. She was champion for 649 days where she dominated a continent. Kaylee says Rose all did was slipping on her ass at WrestleMania while sucking face with Otis. Mandy's like, look at me now. I'm the hottest thing in WWE. Kaylee may have all the talent in the world, will not replace this, her looks. And she says she will get her, she said, you'll get your title shot and, Mandy's like, no, it's doubtful. And then Kaylee slapped her and she chased him away with a bat. And then throughout the night, we continued chasing her, where Mandy ended up at one point in the locker room with the two guys who had been getting the upset wins in the Dusty Cup. And then we had a boner joke because the one guy couldn't get up because he, well, had a boner. And then Kaylee would eventually find her, dump all this food and spaghetti, I think it was about spaghetti on her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course there was a cake spot, and they would have a confrontation at the end of the night, but we'll get to that here in a bit. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
They waste more food in WWE, I swear to God. Like, it's just insane how much food they waste. I do have one question.
Oh, I should mention, JC and Gigi were
Abducted,
yeah, by Kaylee.
So that still doesn't answer my question.
What's your question?
Can somebody please explain Mandy's jacket to me?
No.
And the straps on said jacket. Like, I was so distracted the entire time by her jacket because I was literally trying to figure out the straps. Because mm-hmm. at first, the way that they were shooting her and the way that her jacket was wearing in the ring, I didn't see the second strap. So I literally saw the one strap in the arm and I was like, was it a duffel bag and they converted it to a jacket? Does it do that on its own? And then I went down this Google rabbit hole of trying to find convertible jackets and bags and like this whole thing. And then I saw the second strap when they were out in the parking lot and I was still like bewildered by it because I didn't understand her jacket at all. Can somebody please explain to me that jacket and why it has straps? Why?
I can't help you.
Like, it was, at least for me, it was very, very distracting. Like, the promos were good. I mean, I can't get into Toxic Attraction. I just can't do it. I don't enjoy what they're doing. And the whole Mandy is just like, I'm a bitch because I'm hot. Okay, great. Do you have anything more to you, or is that all you're bringing to the table? Like, it's fine. It's good. But it's just, you can't, like, I can't invest in her. And I can't invest in what the other two are doing, because to me it comes off as very forced and very fake, which that's the whole part of the gimmick is they're essentially doing the Mean Girls thing, but they're not doing it in a way that it's at least convincing to me. It just comes off as very awkward to me. So I can't enjoy it. I do like Kaylee. I like how she left and came back with the baseball bat. I thought that was hilarious because they thought they had run her off, and then she comes running back in and she's like, oh no, we're not done. We're not done. And so she chases them off, kidnaps them, makes Mandy's life hell. So that was good. I'm happy that they're finally doing something with Kaylee, because she deserves to have something done with her, because she's a fantastic performer.
In a proof yourself match, Cora Jade took on Raquel Gonzalez. Raquel Gonzalez with the win, and after the match, she's like, all right, you're tough. Let's go win the tournament. So Raquel and Cora is going to be a team in the Dusty Cup.
Okay, I don't mean this to be mean, because she's very beautiful, but when Raquel Gonzalez walked on the screen in the backstage segment, I had to sit here for a minute and look at her, and I was like, who the hell is that?
She has changed a lot in the last few months.
Like, I did not recognize her at all. And that's not a bad thing.
No, she keeps changing her look.
But she keeps changing her look, and I was sitting here, and I was like, who is that? Because she's not... They're steadily kind of like softening her and kind of smoothing out the rough edges a little bit on her, which isn't bad, but I was just sitting here and it's like, who is that? And then she kind of turned to the side and I was like, oh shit, that's Raquel. And then she walked out and she did the back thing and it was like, oh crap, that's her. Because again, I just didn't recognize her from the change in her look. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing or not, but I was just like, oh shit. Like, the match was fine. The match was good. I don't know about Cora. I worry about Cora because she's so small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mean that to be disparaging, but she's just, it's like Sasha. I worry a lot about Sasha because Sasha is so small. It's like, I don't want to take anything away from you because you're out here doing your thing and you're kicking ass and you're being awesome, but it's like, you are so tiny. It's like, please be careful. Don't hurt yourself.
Peter Dune was bragging about breaking or smashing Tony D'Angelo's hand with a cricket bat and challenged him to a steel cage match.
Like you do.
Sarray took on Kayla Inlay. We had Sarray come out in her schoolgirl outfit in the back, and then she magically transformed into Sarray.
So what she did is she Sailor Mooned it.
Yeah.
Where she did a magical transformation, which, okay, I would be interested to see how they pull that off in the future.
Especially with the hair color being different.
I liked how they did the bangs and the hair color and everything. Yeah, it was like, do they have a bunch of stuff shot backstage with her? Is that a wig? Like, what all's going on here?
So we're learning more about the more serious Duke Hudson. He used to be addicted to the poker table, and, well, he's now addicted to inflicting pain and seeing others suffer. Good evolution.
Is it?
It is. No, because the poker gimmick wasn't going anywhere.
No, the poker gimmick was not going anywhere. I completely agree. I never liked the poker gimmick. However, you're going to tell me that after the bitch got his head shaved, he goes all psycho?
It's Britney, bitch.
Like, I need the explanation as to how he got there. Right? Because, like, yes, getting your head shaved is a traumatic experience for anybody, right? Because we all love and value our hair very much. And his was growing back in. Like, his actually grew back in relatively quickly. So, it's like, and the fact that they're going to keep shaving it just kind of makes me cringe inwardly. Because I was like, what? Why? It looks nice the way that it is. Just let him grow back. But I don't understand the transition of, well, I was carefree and happy-go-lucky and a gambler. And I ran around in my gold vest and my gold pants. And I looked all sparkly. Right? I'm cool. I'm Duke Hudson. I'm a poker player. I have my own thing. Then I ran into Cameron Grimes and he shaved my head and now I'm evil. Like, I just don't understand how that happened. Like, what what transpired in the time that he was gone that he just decided, you know what? You know what? I got my head shaved. What seems like a logical response to that? Let's just burn the world to the ground. That seems appropriate.
Seems very logical.
Very logical. It's an easy leap. I just need an explanation. Like, I could buy into it. I think it's fine. I like the series direction. Don't get me wrong. I just want an explanation as to how he got there with that thought process. Because there's no connection. It's just like, here you go. Enjoy. Here's your intro. That's all you're going to get. And I know that's all I'm going to get, too. Like, I will give them credit where credit is due. At least with Cameron, right? At least with Cameron, they explained it. They explained the new look. They explained why he decided to change, right? Mm-hmm. And why he decided, okay, I'm not going to run around in the top hat and with no shirt and looking like a redneck anymore. That I'm going to embrace this new me because, you know, I was doing it before because I always wanted to be connected to who I was. I didn't want to lose who I was because of the money, right? Like, that was the explanation of Cameron's look. And he's like, but now the Duke cut my beard and cut my hair, and I've been properly groomed, and I'm continually to stay properly groomed. I'm gonna have a new look, and I'm going to embrace this new me. Perfectly logical explanation. Easy to explain. Easy to get through, right? We all buy it. With Duke, it's just not there. And maybe it's coming, and if we get it, that's great. But for right now, it's just, I can't make that leap. Like, I'm a fairly imaginative person. I can forgive a lot. I can suspend my belief quite a bit when it comes to wrestling. It can't happen here. Like, just so everybody's aware, I was a fan of Bray Wyatt, Kane, and The Undertaker. There's a lot of forgiveness there. Because there's nothing about any of that that makes sense. Right? Just logic does not apply. So you just throw it out the window. Because it's like, okay, magic. That is the explanation for the three of those characters. Fucking magic, because what else can you say? With this, that explanation does not apply. So I would very much like it. Thank you.
We good?
I feel better now. Thank you.
Speaking of Cameron Grimes, we had Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams come out. Trick talked about how Grimes is better off wasting time playing poker than getting in the ring with him. Mello said the old him would verbally put Grimes in the grave. Mello said that the crowd may not see Grimes as a threat, but Mello does. Mello said because of that he's working harder and putting the more work in the ring, spending more time, and doing what an A champion does. He said he set the bar on this show, and now he's definitely looking down on Cameron. This brought out Cameron Grimes. Grimes said that he came out because he heard Mello say the crowd doesn't care about Cameron. And crowd went, to the moon. Trick called Cameron a bum and said that Grimes is slimy. Grimes said he's not slimy, he's grimy. Grimes said that Mello's hair looks like a pineapple SpongeBob's house, which would make Trick Squidward. He said they both like Ollie J's Bikini Bottom on Instagram. Trick then was going off on...
Classy.
Yeah, I know. On Cameron Grimes. Grimes wondered if he was fighting Grimes now or fighting Mello. And Mello said a vengeance day. He will find out the Mello shoots for the moon while taking stars as casualties. Cameron's like, at Vengeance Day, their match is going to be a one-star match, and that one star will go to the moon. It was alright. It's a lot of back and forth.
It was okay. I wasn't the biggest fan of it, but it was fine. It was there, right?
Mm-hmm. LA Knight took on Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy would get the win as Grayson Waller interfered and allowed Joe Gacy to get the win. And next week, LA Knight has to face Sangha, which is Grayson's backup.
I'm not talking about it. I refuse to give him the time of day.
So it appears Robert Stone has found a man. His name's Von Wagner. He talked about how he used to be focused on the entertainment side of business. He said he saw a 6'5", 255-pound athlete destroying people. He said he wanted to be a part of that. He said he paid Wagner's fines because Wagner is the future. He said Wagner is the future of WWE, NXT, and Universal Champion. This is Von Wagner's world, and you're just living in it.
So we got all the yes to this.
It's going to be good, hopefully.
It's going to be great, because they acknowledge that, God bless him, Von Wagner just does not have a personality that comes across. So they did what they needed to do, and they got that man, someone with personality. I'm yeah. here for it.
Wendy Chu took on Amari Miller. Wendy Chu would get the win. You had Tiffany Stratton involved. Cause apparently Tiffany gave Amari her credit card and, well, Wendy Chu ended up with it, you know, cause I guess she was trying to pay her off to, take out, Wendy Chu, but it was unsuccessful.
And Wendy got the credit card. That's to, Tiffany's chagrin.
Mm-hmm.
This was good. This was fine. I mean, nothing to really write home about it other than wrestling in like footy pajamas has to be hot.
It does. We had Dexter, Indy, and Persia backstage. Persia's crushing on Duke Hudson. Luma's like, thumbs down. Brooks Dentist showed up crushing on Kanan Carter, and Harwell said that it's a turnoff when a guy talks too much and nonverbal communication is sexy. Harwell says Luma's stared at Luma's and so they need to go to the hot tub, and Jensen try to get Persia get to give the, you know, want to go? And she's like, I'm just saying this is someone else. Interesting.
Interesting. They bring Dexter back to Indy, which I'm okay with. It's about time because they've been apart for too long.
Yeah. We had Saray and being interviewed and Dakota interrupted. So we're building to that.
That was a good little promo.
Mm-hmm.
Very good promo.
Andre Chase beat Draco Anthony. Apparently, Andre Chase is fighting Von Wagner next week.
Okay, then.
And then in your main event, Legado del Fantasma took on Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa, who ended up getting the win in a good match.
This was good.
Breakker and Ciampa left. This is where Kaylee chased Mandy back to the ring. And, well, instead of having a match of Vengeance, it's happening next week.
Oh.
So there you go. Solid
there
episode.
You go.
Solid episode.
This was good. Like I said, I enjoyed this quite a bit. There were some ups, there were some downs, but... This I like this. This was a good show.
It's figuring out who they are.
It's still working on its identity. Like, again, I still wish we got more story in terms of characters because right now I'm still not investing in anybody. But I guess that's okay because I don't think I'm supposed to invest in anybody. I've just kind of come to that conclusion with it. That's what they want is they don't want you to really care about anybody in NXT until they get to the main roster. Because in all likelihood, they're just going to change who they are anyway.
I mean, beyond Bron Breakker, I mean.
Beyond Bron, but even Bron, like, I'm not that invested in Bron, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is it's just, it's like, they're great, and they're fun, and it's cheap entertainment, because it's free, right? But, like, I just sit here, and it's kind of like, it's something you watch. It's not something you invest in, right? It's not something that you put a lot of time in. It's just, you sit here, and you watch it. That's kind of what wrestling has been to me lately, is it's not something that I'm investing in any longer. It's just, I watch it for the sake of watching it as pure entertainment. I don't watch it to really think about it or get involved in it that much anymore because I just don't have anybody on either roster that I do that with. I just don't. Like, the one person that I had invested in is gone. And I just kind of, at this point, still refuse to invest in anybody else because I don't want to because it's like with all the firings and everything else, it's hard to. It's like I don't want to put the same time and energy and effort into someone else that I did into the other people that I've lost only to lose them again, you know?
I get it. So time for a break?
Time for a break. So when we come back, chat, we will be talking all about Monday Night Raw. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Are you a fan of Genshin Impact? Then join Lindsay for Genshin Impact live streams. Follow her through the magical world of Genshin as she fights off all of the creatures on the island, finishes her tasks, and yells at the characters. All live streams can be found on YouTube. Just search for Linsword or go to linsword.rackradioshow.com. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Linsword. That's LINSWARD to know when she goes live. You can also use creator code Lins and Ward in the Epic Game Store because she is a hashtag Epic partner.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post-show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use support the creator code Rockin' Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's our Rocknsock in the Fortnite item shop.
Hi, I'm Barbie Blank, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on rockradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. And if you want to follow us the regular way, subscribe the regular way, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, I give you Tweet of the Week.
I said, we weren't doing it.
Oh, right. We weren't doing it. My bad. Let's do Raw. Well, I couldn't remember. I was like, wait, are we doing it or are we not doing it?
We're not doing it. No, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're not talking about it. Tweets return next week on our Super Bowl edition of The Rack.
Hey.
Because everything has a meaning. So, couple of things. One, sorry for, again, not being live on Monday, but we're here now. We're talking about it. We'll be live this Monday to talk all about it. But it was the fallout from the Royal Rumble, which led to many things happening and things and stuff going down. We're building to the Elimination Chamber, which will be on Saturday, what, the 19th?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, Saturday the 19th. I was looking at the calendar. Was that an actual date? Be like at 12 o'clock noon, 12 o'clock Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So an early start time for that. There will be no like post coverage. We'll review it the following week on the show, just so everyone's aware. But it's building to that. Also, another note before we get into the full show. We're 3 weeks away from episode 1500 of Raw.
Wow.
Because this was episode 1497.
Dang.
Yeah, that's a lot of content.
Well, I mean, it's been on for, what, 20, 30 years?
Yeah, 30 years, right?
We got to be coming up on 30, because didn't we pass 25?
30 would be next year.
Wow.
It's Monday Night Raw open with Adam Pearce. We're going to talk about the highlights. And this one of the highlights was them building to the Elimination Chamber. And Adam Pearce came out and talked about how there will be five challengers inside the chamber for Bobby Lashley's WWE Championship. This brought out Bobby Lashley. Lashley, you know, talked about how great he was and what he did and proved how much he... How better a champion he will be than Brock Lesnar was. He conquered the Beast and is now champion. Well, guess what?
The Beast didn't like that.
The Beast was not happy about it, and he was in gear ready. He was ready to go. He told MVP to shut up, and he was going to stick the cane up his ass. And, you know, Brock's like, you're going to pretend that, you know, you actually are a champion, that you actually won, and other than it was, you know, it was Roman and Heyman who actually won the match, not you. They're the ones who basically screwed me. But he's not mad at Lashley. He's mad at Reigns and Paul Heyman. Lesnar gave credit to Lashley for, you know, having a good match, but, you know, there was interference, and then he won the Royal Rumble. So don't you need to worry, Bobby. I'm not coming after you. I'm fighting Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And then he wants it to be a title versus title match, which why... He wants a rematch for the WWE Championship tonight. But I was like, I can pin you once, I'll pin you again. And, well, MVP talked about how, you know, you have to confirm with the champion. It's not going to happen tonight. You got to get back in the line and, you know, and stuff like that. Adam Pearce is, you know, Adam Pearce is like, Lashley's going to defend the title elimination championship. And, well, if we get five other men, Brock's like, I want in. And Pearce is like, it is official. Brock Lesnar is one of the men in the Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia.
Like you do. Just that simple.
So throughout the night, we would get other people who would be involved, including a couple matches to determine people's spots. One of which was Kevin Owens and Austin Theory. We had a whole segment with Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens before the match, and they talked about everything that happened between Rollins and Reigns, and how Rollins got into the head of Roman, and well, you know, he knows he can get the Universal title back anytime he wants, but that's SmackDown business. This is Raw, and Rollins mentioned he's in the chamber. Kevin's like, you didn't tell me about that. Rollins says, this is a surprise, and you know, I'm in, and but you didn't have to qualify, but I have to qualify. Rollins is like, I qualify because of my performance. And Kevin's like, well, you can go tell Adam and Sonya that, I should be in without having to be in a qualifier, you know. And if they don't put me in, I'm not in it. You're not in it either. And he's like, not so much.
Yeah, no.
So Kevin and Austin had a match. Austin Theory would get the win. Many are surprised by it.
I am amongst one of them. First, I wanted to say that, like, going back to the opening segment real quick, I liked it. I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was really well done. What does that suit, Bobby? Adam Pearce fears Brock Lesnar. That's how Brock Lesnar got in the Rumble. Anyway, moving on to this. Seth and Becky, did you guys just split the outfit? I need to know.
They always do.
Because I feel like Seth got the jacket and Becky got the rest. Because there was like a ringmaster circus vibe going on there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about Becky later, but like Seth just comes out in this jacket, no shirt, pants. And Kevin is just like, just go talk to Pierce. And Seth's like, no. And then Austin Theory wins. So Austin Theory's going into the chamber.
Yes.
Which makes me kind of wonder if they're... Like, he's, like, they're going to fake out with him, and somebody's going to take him out and take his spot. If he's going to lose his spot. Like, what the situation there is there? Because, obviously, they are trying to make Austin Theory a thing. Like, they are serious about making Austin Theory a thing.
I was going to get to that, Lance, yeah. So, the reason why Kevin Owens did not win is not going into the chamber. Where's the chamber?
Saudi Arabia.
Kevin Owens doesn't travel there.
Yeah, he doesn't go there.
He doesn't go, so...
I was trying not to bring that up, actually.
Well, we gotta be honest with the people.
We do have to be honest with the people, but it's like for a storyline, you know.
Yeah, I get it. So there's that. AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio would have a match later in the program to determine a spot. AJ Styles would get the win.
Is it wrong that I was like sitting here and I was like, damn, it's 2022 and we're seeing Rey Mysterio fight for a spot in 2022? I mean, like, what the hell?
Yeah. And then we had another Elimination Chamber qualifying match. But there was a long setup to this one. This was week two of the Alpha Academy, whatever they're calling it. This was round number two. And this was a scooter race throughout the building. You had about 50 laps?
50 laps.
So you would see skits all over, all throughout the night, where Riddle would take on Gable, and they would be performing their little skits and everything, and having random interactions with people. Chad Gable is great.
I was going to say, this was stupid, but this was stupid in all the right ways.
Like, Chad Gable makes it work.
He just, like, owned it. And Riddle helped. Like,
oh, yeah. Riddle's great. But we've been talking how great Riddle is lately. But I give some credit to Chad Gable for just, like,
being the straight guy in this and just owning it.
Upping his game a lot in his promos. It's been really good. Riddle would end up losing the race thanks to Otis interference. And then Riddle would beat Otis in a chamber qualifying match. So Riddle is in the chamber.
Which, again, is an interesting choice, because is Randy going over? I don't think Randy's going over.
I don't know. I don't know where Randy was this week. It's interesting he wasn't there. But he should be there for next week, you would assume, because it's the third part of what the thing. I forget what they're doing. But also, it's going to be on Sci-Fi next week. By the way, everyone, Sci-Fi for Raw.
Because the Olympics have started, y'all.
So Raw and NXT are on Sci-Fi, so... But they will have limited commercials, is what's being touted. Limited commercials. That's not what I meant. Anyway. Other things that happened on the show, Miz beat Dominic Mysterio. Fine little quick match.
Yeah, this was fine.
We had the big confrontation between Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash, with Rhea getting the win. Good match.
It was a good match. But I'm just kind of, like, curious about where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, because it's like they haven't really given a reason as to why Nikki Ash essentially broke with Rhea, right? Like, we don't really know why. That reason hasn't been given.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wonder if we're going to get it, because so far it doesn't seem like we're going to.
Angelo Dawkins would beat Dolph Ziggler on the show, so there was that. Bianca beat Carmella on the show.
This is a good match. This was a fun match. Can we please, for my sanity, please get rid of Carmella's face mask? I'm sorry. This incarnation of it is worse than the last one, because it literally looks like a gimp mask. Like, it does. It has the spikes on it and everything. Can we please get rid of it? I know it's a gimmick. I know they're invested in it, but for the love of God, it's awful. Can we please just get rid of it? It does her no favors. It really doesn't. In fact, it's really almost annoying that she's like, hey, I have to go put my mask on real quick. BRB.
Kind of hurts a little bit.
Because it takes too long to put the mask on.
Yeah, it does. It does. Oh, Alexa Bliss. Let's talk about the development of with Alexa Bliss. She was handed a Lily doll.
It was a nice Lily doll.
But it was this doll he got from WWEshop.com.
Nice little plug. Very nice little plug. Good job, guys.
It made Alexa happy to have the doll back, even though it wasn't the real one.
Well, I mean, she could call Savini and just get another one made. Jesus.
I mean, she could. In theory, that would make the most sense to get another one made. But we saw some progress. She's sort of coming around, as it were.
By the way, I don't know what lip color that was, but that was a banging lip color on her. I actually want to know what kind of lipstick that was, because that was a pretty, pretty color.
So, I've seen people complain about these segments, and this is terrible television. Excuse me. Character development is terrible television now?
They're repackaging her, but they're repackaging her right in front of your eyes. And they're basically explaining how they're taking the crazy out of her, where they're having her go to therapy to essentially become the Alexa of old, more or less, where it's, or a hybrid version of the Alexa of old and the current Alexa. That's what's going on. But the problem with a character like Alexa's, where she was so far into the dark side of things, is you just can't have her be gone and come back normal. It requires an explanation. It's like earlier. It's like the Duke Hudson rant, where he was Mr. Poker Man, and now all of a sudden he wants to kill everybody. There has to be a certain level of explanation there as to how and why that happened. Alexa's exactly the same way. You can't have her be Psycho Alexa, where she's all dark and evil and she has magical powers and she's basically absorbed Bray Wyatt at this point. And then she's fine when she's like the next minute, where she goes away because she has to have surgery and then she comes back and she's completely normal. Like, that's just, that doesn't go. That doesn't fly. That's like The Undertaker, right? Back in the day, who was so far into the dark side, he was doing the Ministry of Darkness, and like then came back as the American Badass. And there was really no explanation why beyond in interviews. He was like, yeah, I just got tired of doing it, so fuck it. Like, that was kind of it. That was the explanation back in the day. But it's something very similar to that, where it's like, you have to have some level of explanation as to why she's doing this. And so the fact that they're doing the therapy segments, yeah, they're stupid. Right? They're completely stupid, but they work. Because it lets her be the character, it lets her explore the character, and it lets her become the new character right in front of your eyes. So when they finally do bring the new character to TV, it's not as shocking, it's not as jarring, it doesn't give the fans a chance to necessarily reject it. Because they've already seen it, they've already experienced it, and they are already there with it, whether they like it or they don't like it. So it's a much softer transition than that really jarring one that we generally get. And I appreciate that. The only thing that really hurt this was the shot plug. Because I was sitting here watching it and I was like, for fuck's sake, really? Really? We just had to work that in?
Yes.
Like, come on.
But now let's talk about Rowdy Ronda Rousey. She made her way back to WWE and now she won the Royal Rumble. And now it's time for her to decide who she's going to face at WrestleMania. She talked about facing Charlotte Flair or Rebecca, and she said she didn't know if Rebecca deserved the recognition of facing her. And she would continue, you know, calling her Rebecca. She's been there and done that with Rebecca. Becky came out and, you know, called Ronda a weirdo and, you know, you used my government name, how clever. Becky said she wouldn't blame Rousey if she chose the appetizer by choosing Charlotte. She said eventually told Rousey she wanted to, you know, who's gonna be next, and, you know, saying that time is money, like, come on, make your decision, let's do it. She was like putting the mic in her face, like, come on, tell me who it is, and then Rousey grabbed her arm and threw her down the mat, and, well, you'll get my answer Friday. And then Becky starts firing up and starts talking about rude people and everything like that. And, you know, she understands why Ronda would just want to leave, because she wants to get out of Cincinnati too.
Okay, let's stop there.
Let's
break down the Ronda Becky portion of this, because the Ronda Becky portion of this was really well done. One, I loved Becky's hair like that. I wasn't necessarily as much a fan of the outfit. Like, I liked the top. I didn't like the bottom at all. Like I said, there was a whole circus ringmaster clown thing going on here between Becky and Seth.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth got the jacket and Becky got the rest of it. But yeah, this was a nice little renewal of Becky and Ronda's rivalry. It's nice to see. It's exactly where they left off. Yeah, I like this. I thought this was good. There were some really good jabs back and forth. There were shots at Charlotte. It's exactly what you need, right? To set everything up for Ronda to make her choice. Because Ronda's like, well, who do I want to face? Whose title do I want to take?
And
I have options.
She has options. And they gave you the confrontation because we're not going to probably get the match right off the bat.
No, and that's fine. Build to Becky and Ronda. Build to that moment, because that's a big moment. We've already seen it once. And I like how Becky threw it out there. I'm the only one that's beaten you.
Mm-hmm.
No one else has beaten you. And I haven't lost this title since.
Other than giving it up. But
she's never been pinned for the title.
Nope.
Never been pinned. She gave it up, but she's never been pinned.
Ever since she's been, whenever she's active, she's held that title.
So I like this. I liked how they did this.
So, Becky, like I said, Becky's ranting and raving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then out came Lita. She's like, "What? I wonder what Ronda's problem was. Like, I don't know, and stuff." And Lita says, "Becky, you're the goat." Which, you know, yeah. Becky's like, "Yeah, I am. You set the division on fire, and it's never ever been hotter." And Becky said, "Lita's a legend, and she's been a fan of her since she was growing up, and, you know, all the respects." And Lita said she respects that Lita is a fighting champion who never backs down for a challenge. And Becky said, "Yeah." And the look on Becky's face is like, "What is she setting me up for here?" But I'm, you know, I never back down. Yeah, I'm a fighting champion. Yeah. Then Lita goes, "Well, I want to fight you Elimination Chamber for the title." Becky's like, "No." And he's like, well, you never backed down. I thought you never backed down from a challenge. And Becky's like, I see what you're doing. You're trying to spin things. You're trying to use words against me, even though Lita's like, it's okay to say she was scared. Becky's like, I'm not scared. I'm, you know, if that's the match you wanted, with elimination, you got it. So Lita and Becky at the chamber.
I'm okay with this. He's okay with it, too.
I think she's okay with it, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're all perfectly fine with this choice.
It wasn't a match anyone was expecting at all, especially coming into the show. You thought, okay, Lita was like on run, SmackDown, I have a run in me. It's like, okay, yeah, everyone says that. Any Legends comes back, yeah, I may have one more run in me. But does she?
Well, Lita's been out of things now for a really, really long time because she got retired due to her neck. So she never really got a run because she got the run with Trish. But I think she had a lot left in the tank when she was forced to retire.
Yeah, but she's come back and made appearances and she's done some stuff.
But she could do more. And I think that's the point, is I think she feels like she could do more because I think she has been limited in what she can do. So I'm curious about this. I'd like to see what they do with it, where they go with it.
So we have a direction. We have a chamber match for the men for the title on Monday Night Raw. We have Becky and Lita, and so we're building to chamber, which is only a couple weeks away.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Should be. But I think we're done here tonight.
I think we're done. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
All right. We're back Saturday night, midnight-ish, for another edition of Secret Radio, SecretRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, Sunday nights, WTR Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. They're probably going to talk some Elimination Chamber stuff and a lot more. It's WTR Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, we're back live, 11 p.m. Eastern, to cover everything that happens on Monday Night Raw, which is on Sci-Fi as a reminder. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Network, Rack Radio Show, wherever you get your podcasts, on all social media platforms. You know the deal. Subscribe, like, all that fun stuff on those platforms. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Game. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKASOCK or
Lynn's M. Ward.
In the Horror Night Item Shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And everybody, follow me on YouTube, lynnsward.rackradioshow.com, or search me out on YouTube, Lynn's Ward. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Lynn's Ward, to get notifications of when I'm going live and streaming and my general stupidity. I stream Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, generally 6 to 8-ish. But times do vary, so pay attention to that. If you want to subscribe to the YouTube, please do. I would appreciate it, because you get the notifications of when I go live, and also use the creator code, because that's important. And please check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.